And now for reading and writing and radio.
It is a question of discipline, the little prince said to me later on. When you've finished your own toilet in the morning, then it is time to attend to the toilet of your planet, just so with the greatest care. You must see to it that you pull up regularly all the baobabs at the very first moment when they can be distinguished from the rose bushes, which they resemble so closely in their earliest youth. It is very tedious work, the little prince added, but very easy. The author of that was Antoine de Saint-Exupéry.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Before we start today's show, I'd like to introduce myself. My name's Ellie Jackson. Some of you will remember me from past shows. I've been on a lot of Reading Your Writing shows, and I've been on shows such as Grandma Plus, which you've heard recently. Today I'm taking over for Jackie, and our topic for today is responsibilities. The first thing we should ask is, what are responsibilities? Well, a good general definition is that they're things you gotta do, things you have to take care of. In the passage we just heard from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry's book, The Little Prince, the narrator is telling us how the prince's greatest responsibility is to tend his little planet. Every day he must pull up the baobabs, plants which are little in the beginning, but if they're left to grow, they would spread over the entire planet. In fact, they would bore clear through it with its roots. The prince tells the narrator that if the planet is too small and the baobabs are too many, they split it in pieces. So we can see that it's very important for the little prince to tend to the baobabs, and it's that importance which gives him a reason to do the chore every morning, even though, as he says, it is tedious or boring work. Everybody has responsibilities, and many of them are tedious. All of you have chores which you're expected to do. Maybe you have to mow the lawn or help with the dishes. Maybe you take out the trash. Chores are probably the responsibilities that you're most familiar with. They do seem tedious, don't they? The five sisters in Sidney Taylor's book, All of a Kind Family, have chores they have to do every day, and the one they dislike the most is dusting. They would always moan and groan when it was their turn to do the dusting, and often they'd do a bad job because they hated it so much. Their mother was pretty smart, though, and she devised a way to make them more careful about their dusting. She made a game out of it. In this passage, the book describes what happens. She goes into the parlor one day and shuts the door behind her. After a little while, she comes out. "Well, girls," she said, "we're going to play a game, and I've been getting the room ready for it." The children became very interested. "What game?" "It's a game of hide-and-seek," Mama answered. "I've hidden a dozen buttons in the front room. If the one who dusts can find those 12 buttons, she will have done a wonderful dusting job, and I won't even have to check up on her. Now, let's see, whose turn is it to dust today?" "It's my turn," shouted Sarah. "Aw, Ma, let me do it today." "No, me." The children fought for a chance at the hated chore. Even baby Gertie, who had never been expected to do so before, now was eager to try her hand at it. The book goes on to tell that Mama continues with the button game for a week. But after that, the buttons only come out occasionally, and sometimes as a surprise, so the girls will never know if there will be buttons in the parlor that day or not. This keeps them from getting bored with the game, and the game keeps them from getting so bored with the dusting. Making a game out of your chores is a good way to make them seem not quite so awful. In Betty McDonald's book, Mrs. Pigglewiggle, Mrs. Pigglewiggle teaches this to Mary Lou, a little girl who has run away from home because she hates to wash dishes. The passage begins with Mary Lou telling Mrs. Pigglewiggle how much she hates to do dishes. "I'm running away from home because I hate to wash dishes. All I do is wash dishes. I am just a servant. Dishes, dishes, dishes. Wash, dry, put away. That's all I do. My mother doesn't love me at all. She isn't my real mother anyway. She probably got me out of an orphanage just to wash her dishes." Mrs. Pigglewiggle said, "Isn't she your real mother?" Mary Lou said, "She says she is, but no real mother would make you wash dishes. Wash dishes, wash dishes." Mrs. Pigglewiggle then tells Mary Lou how much she loves to wash dishes, because only then can she pretend that she's a beautiful princess who's being kept prisoner by a mean, ugly old witch who makes her do all the work. If she can only do the dishes fast enough and well enough, she will escape from the power of the witch. If she does them too slowly, she'll be in the witch's power for another year. Later on, she and Mary Lou do the dishes, and a few minutes after, Mrs. Pigglewiggle leaves the room, and, miracle of miracles, a mean, ugly old witch who only looks a little bit like Mrs. Pigglewiggle appears, and she screeches with dismay when she sees what a good job Mary Lou has done in the kitchen. Mrs. Pigglewiggle has given Mary Lou a great gift because she's helped her to make the hated chore into a fun game. The game is make-believe, different than the all-of-a-kind family's hide-and-seek game, but the end result is the same. The chore is made more bearable, and the work gets done with less pain. Mary Lou's complaints about feeling like a servant to her mother tell how we all feel sometimes, that we're the only person in the world who has to do these horrible things. Especially if a grown-up, such as your mother or father, gives you your responsibilities, like the chores you have to do. It's easy to think that if you're doing their chores, they're doing nothing but sitting around, eating cream puffs, watching television while you slave for them. Sometimes you wish you were all alone so that no one could tell you what to do. And it's true that while there are other people on our planet, somebody's always going to be giving you responsibilities and telling you what to do. They know if you're holding up your share or not. You have to answer to them. And what Mary Lou doesn't realize, and a lot of us don't realize, is that that doesn't end when you're grown up. Grown-ups have to answer to others all the time. Their bosses, their landlords, the government, and believe it or not, they also have to answer to their children. Kids can't give their parents responsibilities the way that parents give them to the kids. Kids can't tell their parents to do the dishes or to clean their room. But parents have the most important responsibility in their lives to take care of their children, to keep them fed and to give them a place to live and to take them to the doctor and to the dentist. Can you imagine what would happen if your parents decided to ignore their responsibilities and wait for someone else to take care of them? It's not so hard to see that although nobody has told them what their chores are, they're also responsible to other people because other people depend on them. You might have a similar type of responsibility if you have a pet. Pets depend on you for food and for attention just the way that you depend on your parents. Caring for another life is a big responsibility. Have you ever forgotten to feed your pet? How did you feel? Have you ever forgotten to let your dog out quite as soon enough and had to deal with the consequences of that? Responsibilities usually have negative effects if they're neglected. Your planet won't split in half like the little princes, but other bad things might happen. Right now, your mother would probably feed the dog if you forgot, but what if you didn't? What if she didn't? What if she didn't know you'd forgotten? Your dog might have to go hungry. More likely, the consequences of you forgetting might mean that you'd get punished, as Carolyn Schmidgall described in a piece she sent to us when she was in Mrs. Roos's sixth grade at Athens School. She wrote, "Before my mom left, she told me to feed the ducks, cats, dogs, and put the potatoes in the oven. Well, I didn't listen. So the ducks, cats, dogs didn't get fed, and the potatoes didn't get cooked. The only thing that got something was me, and I'll never forget what I got as long as I live. Later on, no one's going to punish you, but if you forget the dog, no one else will feed it. And if you don't put the potatoes in the oven, you just might not get a hot supper. So the consequences change a little as you get older, but the responsibilities just get to be more and more real, even though someday you can tell your kids to wash the dishes. Another kind of responsibility we're all familiar with is financial responsibility. I hope that none of you, except you teachers, have to pay bills like your parents do, but you've probably seen their reactions. And haven't you all had a financial responsibility at some point? Another chapter in All of a Kind Family describes what happens when one of the girls, Sarah, loses her library book. As Sarah walks to the library, she describes how it feels to have failed to be responsible about the library's book. Mama had said to hurry, but Sarah's feet wouldn't walk. They felt like lead. In her chest was a lump of lead, too. Ella put her arm around Sarah's shoulder. Even Gertie forsook her idle Charlotte and came over to Sarah. She slipped her little hand into Sarah's, her brown eyes large in sympathy. A branch of the New York Public Library was only a few blocks from their home. Soon the familiar brown building came into view. Through the high door and up the staircase they went. With each step, Sarah grew more despairing. "They'll take my card away," she thought. "I just know they will. I'll never be able to take out any more books." The book turned out to cost a dollar, and the library lady, as they called the librarian, let Sarah pay it back a little at a time, so the disaster of losing the library card was averted. But it was hard for Sarah to pay it back, and she did without her allowance for weeks and weeks before the book was paid off, for a dollar was a lot of money around 1900 when the story took place, and Sarah only got a penny a day spending money. A really strong memory of my own is of a time when I suddenly had a financial obligation that was above my head. I was in fourth grade, and my friend Janelle was going on a walkathon and asked me to sponsor her. I wrote down 60 cents, thinking that that was a sum I could spare from my allowance. I was horrified and dismayed to learn later that what I thought was 60 cents total was 60 cents a mile, and Janelle walked 10 long miles the day of the walkathon. I felt pretty dumb, and I also panicked because I didn't have $6. The panic changed to guilt as time went by, and I still had not paid my debt. Janelle's mother paid the walkathon people with a check. I felt awful for weeks until I had finally saved up the money. It was such a relief to be done with that responsibility, although I was embarrassed for a long time that I had taken so long to pay her, for I hadn't told anyone about my mistake. I was so surprised when my mother told me much later that she had known what I was doing when I was saving for all those long weeks. And instead of scolding me for my mistake, she said she was incredibly proud of how I'd stuck to my word, even though I'd taken on the financial responsibility by mistake. Well, it didn't bring my $6 back, but it did give me a good feeling to hear that, a feeling of self-worth, and I was glad that Mom had noticed and recognized how hard it was for me to come through with that responsibility. Another kind of responsibility is when you're in a position when you have to sell something. If none of you have had to sell candy for the school band or calendars for new softball uniforms yet, I bet you will soon. Have you ever spent the money for the candy as you got it and then had to come up with the whole wad at once? So although you don't have to deal with bill collectors and overdue notices yet, I bet that you know that money and responsibility that comes with money is an aspect of life that touches everyone. So far, we've talked pretty much about everyday types of responsibilities, things you have to deal with all the time, like chores, pets, even little brothers and sisters. How about some special responsibilities now? Sometimes you have to take care of something really out of the ordinary. Someone might tell you to do something special, or maybe something has happened that you have to take care of, and there's no one to do it but you. This happens to Libby in Jackie's book, The Taste of Spruce Gum. Libby is 11 years old and has been living in a logging camp on top of Shrewsbury Mountain in Vermont. Her uncle Charles, the foreman at the camp, had been in an accident. Her mother has gone down the mountain to visit him in the hospital. Libby's Uncle Henry is on the mountain, and he is supposed to keep the men in control at the camp and make sure they get their meals. The next thing Libby knows, Uncle Henry has left for town, telling no one, just running out on his responsibility. She shows great courage and great responsibility. Suddenly, rage swept away her panic. Uncle Henry didn't care. He hadn't brought help. He'd expected Mama to run the boarding house with Uncle Charles dying. And now he'd ridden off and left her alone, without a thought either for her or the business. Well, she cared. She wouldn't run out, but not as a favor to him. She'd do it for Uncle Charles and for Mama, and she wouldn't stay here till Uncle Charles sent a cook up the mountain either, if he ever did. She'd go down to see Uncle Charles just as soon as she fixed things up. She'd manage, somehow. And she does manage, too, very bravely and ingeniously, and even does make it down the mountain herself to learn that her Uncle Charles will be all right after all. This passage is a great illustration not only of how kids can be terrifically responsible in trying situations, but also how adults can neglect their responsibilities. Being grown up doesn't mean a person's going to act responsibly. Far from it. Part of being mature is taking care of responsibilities, but many children are more mature at 8 than some other people are at 80. Other special kinds of responsibilities are when you have to do something that you know is right, but it's very hard to do. Did you ever defend someone who was getting picked on by all the other kids? That's acting real responsibly. Did you ever do something that wasn't your job, but needed to be done and wasn't getting done? Have you ever been in charge of planning something, an outing, or a class project? Those are big responsibilities, and they indicate a lot of maturity. The flip side of taking on responsibilities is not coming through with your responsibilities. I'm sure you all know the story of Tom Sawyer, and he's a classic example of someone who evades his responsibilities when he gets all the neighborhood kids to do his chore for him, convincing them all how much fun it is to paint the fence. That's a funny passage, and it doesn't really matter that Tom got them to do his work for him. There are other times when it does matter that someone doesn't behave responsibly. Have you ever had a responsibility and didn't come through? How did you feel about it? It might not have been as important as protecting your planet from the baobab trees, but I bet it was important in its own way. What happened? Today, I'd like you to tell us at Reading and Writing and Radio about your responsibilities. What are they? What do you have to take care of? Do you have any games to make them less boring? How do you feel about your special responsibilities? What have you done that you're really proud of, or maybe not so proud of? Tell us about your baobabs.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.